just miss the gold standard? It's Home Economics on 95BFM with Rupert Carline of Coda Wealth.
Morena, Rupert. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You?
Yeah, very good. We've just been comparing weekends, done some rugby, done some music, all sorts of wholesome activities.
It's feeling great. It's Sunday afternoon at the rugby with the kids. You kind of come into a Monday morning actually feeling like a proper weekend.
Nice. Wow. Oh, that's a great situation. Well, we've got some questions from listeners that have been coming in over the last week. Somebody has got a question about something you mentioned last week. You said that there were better, more flexible investment options for kids than starting a KiwiSaver for them. What are some of these better options, please?
So I think the two ones that I quite like at the moment, there's a company called Sharesies, and through there you can set up a kids account and you can invest in a range of investment funds through them. And the other one is Hatch. Hatch allows you to invest in US investments. And again, they've got a range of funds on that platform. The one thing, if you are going to use these investment funds or these investment products for your kids, just remember some of the core rules, right? Which means you need to make sure you diversify their investments. So don't just pick a Fletcher Building or an Air New Zealand or a Fonterra. So my strong suggestion would be do a managed fund rather than doing a single individual investment. And watch out on the fees. So make sure that if you are doing something, particularly if you're going to invest directly, the fees don't just eat away at all of the returns. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is try your best and make sure you only invest in something that you understand. So make sure you've got a good reason for doing it, rather than just thinking, oh, this looks cheap or this looks interesting. And I know that's hard, but do try and spend a little bit of time understanding it. And that's for any investment. You should always do that. Just because it's your kids and it's long term doesn't mean that you should try and do anything differently.
All right. Very good advice. Someone said, should I be investing some of my money to retrain? I'm thinking about going back to uni to do the odd course in case I lose my job. I'm sure there's probably a few people thinking like that at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to become a bigger and bigger thing. Look, so there's a lot of people that say the best investment you will ever make is in yourself. And so this is another example of that. I think definitely retraining, giving yourself extra skill sets, giving yourself extra options is always a great investment. Just make sure you're aware of what you're doing and what the likely outcome is. If you're going back to uni for a purpose of retraining to try and change career or do something different, just make sure you've thought it through three steps forward to understand that actually the course that you're going to do, the training that you're going to take, make sure you understand where that's going to lead you. There's no, well, if there is a point in studying for the sake of studying, if that's what you want to do, but if it's not just studying for the sake of studying, make sure you understand where it's going to land you at the end.
I was going to say, someone who's done a fine arts degree and ended up working in the radio, I'm not probably a very good example of doing a course that will lead to a very easy job outcome. But yeah, I think that's good advice, probably. If you want to go back and retrain, do it.
Definitely.
Fair enough.
You will never lose by investing in yourself.
Exactly. All right, we've had another laptop question. I need to buy a new laptop. Should I get it on finance with Harvey Norman or something like that, or take out a bank loan?
So, well, why I would always say you shouldn't be using debt at all for these things. I realise that's a very puritanical answer and probably not realistic for most people. So I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about just trying to find the lowest interest rate and making sure you, if you are going to use debt, get the lowest cost option there. And so Harvey Norman, for example, they've got their gem card product, so they'll give you interest-free loans there. There are some fees involved around annual costs, etc. But look, I think if you can get that kind of a deal from them, that's probably going to be cheaper than a credit card, and probably going to be cheaper than a bank loan as well.
Interesting.
And our last question is a bit of a philosophical one this morning. Why does someone need $1 billion? Is there ever a need for one person to have that much money? Lots of question marks on the end of this sentence.
You can talk a lot. There's a lot of pride in yourself, I guess, maybe.
I think the short answer is no, really, isn't it?
I'm just trying to think of a reason why you would need $1 billion, but
it's just such an inconceivably large amount of money. It just feels a bit gross, doesn't it?
You know? And then you look at what's happened to Jeff Bezos over the last 6 months, and I think he's gone. I think he's now got almost 120 billion US dollars.
That's just revolting. That's not even a number that human brains can process, is it? No.
I mean, so he alone owns more. It's worth more than the entire New Zealand Stock Exchange.
Nah.
Jeff Bezos. Short answer to that question must be no.
Solid no about billionaires. Well, thank you very much, Rupert.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you next week. BFM, if you've got questions, text us on 5395. Let us know, and Rupert will answer them next Monday. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Money. Home Economics on 95 BFM.